This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise belongs to Allah, the Most High, the Most Merciful. We thank Him and we seek His help, aid and forgiveness. And we ask Him to protect us from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we commit. Indeed, whosoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whosoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of religious matters are those that are innovated. And every religious innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. The aftermath of Ramadan presents a challenge for most of us. There is the minor physical challenge, indicative of the other challenges that we face, but a minor physical challenge to readjust again to our old routine, reintroduce ourselves to our old schedule, normal life, when we wake up, when we go to sleep, to catch up on sleep, to readjust again to consuming food on particular times. Some of us might be fatigued. So there is that period of adjustment that will follow the month of Ramadan, and it could be challenging, but that is a minor challenge that will soon pass. The greater challenge is the spiritual challenge after the month. Of always it, how is it that we're going to live after the month had passed? And how can we regain some of what we have gained in Ramadan? For some of us, once Ramadan is over, it becomes an opportunity for us to go back and revisit the old sins that we were doing before the month. And some of us already have had a plan. Once the month is over, we're going to go to practice some of these sins. And although to our credit, if we are doing this, to our credit, if you stop the haram in the month of Ramadan, then that is itself admirable, because you still recognize the sanctity of that time. And you still want to commit yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal, even temporarily, but at least you have that commitment and that piety. But of course, once Ramadan is over, and that piety evaporates or disappears, as if we're only required to be close to Allah for 29 or 30 days. Pious away from haram, 29 or 30 days, not most of the year. For many others, we feel that once Ramadan is over, our ibadah can decline. And decline significantly until it almost evaporates and disappears. And naturally, our ibadah after Ramadan is going to decline. Ramadan is special. It's an intense month of ibadah. The Prophet's salah, the Prophet's fasting, was not in Ramadan, similar to it outside Ramadan. But it did not disappear after. So some of us, we so decline in our worship that we enter for most of the year in a state of unawareness, ghafla, distance from Allah Azza wa Jalla, where whatever we have practiced in Ramadan is not carried on after. Salah and fasting and the Quran, staying away from the haram, lowering your gaze when it passes in front of you,
not trying not to listen to it when it comes to you. All of that seems to go away. So whatever we have gained is lost. And the problem with that first category or the second category is that whatever you're able actually to achieve and realize in the month of Ramadan is only based on how you start the month. The spiritual highs that you can reach, the sweetness of Iman, the connection that you feel when you're reading the Quran, how long you can stay in worship, in ibadah, standing in salah, how much you enjoy your fast, basically how much you can get from Allah's forgiveness, how high you can climb in Jannah, all of that, the spiritual highs, are only achievable based on your start point. If you're very distant from them, you're going to have to labor to do the basics in Ramadan. You're going to have to force yourself to do the basics in Ramadan. But if you're already close to those spiritual highs, then you can push yourself to reach them and even reach points beyond your calculation. You can enjoy fasting and find its secrets, enjoy the Quran. And when you read it, you can feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala personally talking to you. You can enjoy your salah. You can enjoy your sadaqah. But it's very difficult for us to enjoy that when we have forgotten about it for the rest of the year and now we're starting from zero. So again we belabor. Again we push just to hold on to the basic every single Ramadan, and that makes our ibadah very seasonal. Just like seasonal work. When Ramadan comes, we try to be devout. When it's over, we forget. So in order to continue after Ramadan, not with the same intensity, but with the same spirit, we have to realize, what is it in the month that helped us? What is it inside this month that blessed us? What did Allah Azza wa Jalla put in it? And you can reflect personally on that, but with you inshallah today, I'll share a few insights and add to them your own personal insights, things that will help you, that you knew that in Ramadan, they helped you. So first of all, in Ramadan we had a goal. We knew that we wanted to achieve something in it. We had these major goals. I wanted Allah to forgive me before the end of the month. I wanted to be blessed. I wanted my dua to be accepted. I want my fasting to be accepted. So I had these major goals. I wanted Allah's rahmah before the month concludes. But of course, having these goals is not and cannot be realized without specific concrete goals to help them. So for the rest of your life, the goals of Ramadan are exactly the same goals of life. I'm living my life for one reason. I want to be forgiven. I want to be admitted into Jannah. I want to taste the sweetness of my ibadah. I want to be protected from punishment. I want my life to be happy. I want my children to escape punishment and for their life to be happy, for them to have a focus. I want the best for myself and the best of my for my children, for my spouse, for my extended family. This cannot be achieved without the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His acceptance. How am I going to get this? Without planning, without having specific goals. Someone says, I want to be rich, I want to be famous, I want to be healthy. But they do nothing to achieve that, no specific goals to achieve it. All these goals remain a dream. So you want Allah's forgiveness, how are you going to get it? You want your family to be blessed, to live in harmony, to live in peace, how are you going to get it? I need concrete goals. I need steps to be taken towards that. And Allah furnishes these goals in the month of Ramadan. He gives it to you. Whether you realize it or not, Allah gives it to you. So He says you fast every single day. And He says there is salah every single day. And there is opportunity for dua every single day. And then sadaqah. Zakatul Fitr at least, but there is more if you wish to give it every single day. So the doors of righteousness are open. So now I have these grand broad goals, but I need specific goals to reinforce them. And so whatever we have we're doing inside must be carried also outside. I used to fast. And by the end of the month, I realized that fasting is not an insurmountable obstacle. I can fast. Then why can't I also continue that habit after this month? And you realize when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever fasts Ramadan, man sama Ramadan, then you follow that with 6 days of Shawwal, ثم أتبعه ستة من شوال, كانت صيام الدهر, it'd be as if you fasted the whole year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was urging you not to stop fasting. With this particular hadith, and he didn't make it an obligation on you, but with this particular hadith, he was urging you to continue to fast after Ramadan and not stop this habit. And he told you about what you're going to gain out of it. So now you have come out of Ramadan with this, the khira, with these gains. And he says you can add to it very easily. 6 days, only 6 days, and Allah will write for you as if you fasted an entire year. And that is the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if you do this, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us the strength to do it, and if you happen to be a person who had missed some days of Ramadan, and you want to start your 6 days, of course, it's always better to make up for your obligatory fast and then do the voluntary. But if you find it hard to do both, it's either this or that, then start with your voluntary fast. Do your 6 days and then making up for Ramadan can follow later, bi'idhnillah azza wa jalla. But here, fasting does continue after Ramadan. What do I do after the 6 days? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended the fasting on Mondays and Thursdays and 3 days from every month. We can make that a habit. And that will keep us connected, tethered to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Similarly with the salah. It is the cornerstone of Islam. So I can't neglect my salah if I want to be a good Muslim close to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So praying on time is a must. And I should try to add to it coming to the masjid to pray in jama'ah. Once a day, twice a day, whatever I can, but put an effort and make it a goal. And then add to that, reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We were so close to it, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that we will always be close to it. We were still close to it in Ramadan. Don't lose that connection after. But plan, because it cannot happen until you say, when I wake up in the morning, before I read my newspaper, before I look at my phone, before I do this and do that, I will not start my day before reading a few pages from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that Allah will bless me for the rest of the day. Teach me what I need to do in the rest of the day. Protect me in the rest of my day. And if you make it a habit, sometimes if you're just being a model, your children will see what you're doing. You don't have to tell them to do it. That remains engraved in their head. This is what my father, my mother used to do. You become their role model and they will also follow. Or at least if you recommend that they would do it, you would see that you would follow in your own advice. So become this role model of a person who wants to be close to Allah in and outside of that month. So the grand goal, but very specific goals, and included in that staying away from the haram. Not surrendering it to it. Not feeling that we have now an exemption, but asking and praying to Allah, Ya Allah, give me the patience to stay away from it, the wisdom to see the harm that is in it, and the company to protect me from it. And now the second insight that comes from Ramadan is your environment and companions. What made it easy or easier in this month is the people who are around you and the context you are in. Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you chose so, Allah surrounded you with more pious people. And if you came to the masjid, that was your environment. And so it became easier to be close to Allah, because if you were about to forget, the person next to you with his and her behavior reminds you. If you are about to deviate, the person next to you with his and her behavior tells you not to deviate. So you are stronger because of the people around you. And we know this very well from Islam. As your friends, as your companion, you shall be. So take a lesson from that and bring yourself to the houses of Allah. Surround yourself as much as you can with those who are pious, with those who will remind you, but not drag you deep into unawareness and distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choose carefully. How do I do this? It doesn't simply mean attending Jum'ah. Half hour or 45 minutes every single week is not going to be enough for you and me. But can I be closer to Allah and surround myself and put myself in these righteous places every day, online and offline? Online and offline. So visiting the houses of Allah more frequently, seeking the study circles, the courses, who is teaching Islam locally, and going and attending and listening and bringing my families to those events. Selecting my friends of those who will bring me and remind me and take me to Jannah. And by the way, this is not easy. This is not easy. And when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ, sit patiently with those who are calling upon Allah Azza wa Jalla morning and evening. He said, sit patiently because it's not easy, especially in the beginning, because it's challenging. And when he said, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ, do not look beyond them, because he knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's very attractive to look beyond those people at the attractions of this world. It's so easy to be anywhere else but here. So he says, sit patiently with them. And he speaks to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He addresses him with that. And means, we need this more than him. So we need to make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, make this easy and desirable. Give us the patience to continue to do this. And again, the insight and wisdom to see that the other paths which are taking us far away from you are disastrous, are evil. So that is the second insight. And the third insight is consistency. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَحَبُّ الْعَمَلِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْ قَلِي. He says, the best of deeds, most beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla, the ones that are constant, even if they are small. So if this is the best of deed, you understand that the best of deed cannot be, boom, Ramadan, I'm pious, and then I forget about it after. That's inconsistency. And he wasn't like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he realized that's not what Allah loves. That's a contradiction, inside and outside. So consistency means that even if it's a little bit, even if it's a page of the Quran, even if it's one extra rak'ah that I'm praying, even if it's just one day a month that I'm fasting, but I decide I can do this, and I'm doing this every day, or every week, or every month, but consistency. And that consistency is what's going to build up your iman. That consistency is what's going to protect you from evil and fitan. That consistency is something that Allah notes and preserves your faith, and for it you will be blessed. So consistency. You don't have to be the best of the worshippers of Allah. You don't have to be a scholar in Islam. But few steps every single day for you and your family that bring you closer and closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala will be rewarded immensely. And you will see that if you follow that path, you will see that as a reward the next time Ramadan comes. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فأستغفر. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه, وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The beauty of the month of Ramadan was that it showed us what we can do, and it also pushed us to taste the sweetness of our ibadah. to realize some of the beauty that is in it, that is not simply a burden that Allah had put on us. No. Now you can see actual benefits that have come to you, not only physically, but spiritually from fasting. You could see it, you could feel it. From reading the Quran, you could feel some of these benefits. From standing in salah, you can feel some of these benefits, and so we shouldn't waste them. And if you want to gain the best in Jannah, the best of the hereafter, continue on the path that Allah has charted for you and me in the month of Ramadan. And of course, the summer holiday is nearby. And if you're a person who's going to find himself or herself with a lot of free time, include in your summer holiday, in your summer break, or whatever days you're going to take off, a plan as well. Because one of the greatest ni'mas that do not reproduce themselves often is having free time. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a lot of people waste such a ni'mah. So if Allah had blessed you with the fact that you can find yourself free for a few days or a few weeks, and you can invest in your hereafter, but also invest in the dunya and do something useful, don't waste this. Because soon you will find out that you're going to run out of these days, run out of these weeks. You'll be chased after them, but you won't find them. So if you have them, have a plan. Whether to enhance your Quran, whether it enhances your ibadah, whether to learn more about Islam, or you want to invest in this dunya in something that is halal that will benefit you and benefit your community, do it, but do not waste it. And whenever you find free time, have a plan for it. And attach that, perhaps, to the plan that you will have from now till next Ramadan. And don't forget continuously to beseech Allah Azza wa Jal, to ask Allah to save us, to ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us that strength, to ask Allah on your behalf of your children, on behalf of your spouse, and also to ask Allah on behalf of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever you see suffering, whenever you see pain, and you say, what can I do about it? The least that you can do, and it's great in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal, the least that you can do is raise your hands and make a passionate dua that Allah Azza wa Jal will alleviate their suffering. What will it do? It will do wonders in a time that Allah Azza wa Jal decides. But it most importantly will change us on the inside, because we'll feel connected to them. And perhaps because you make dua for them, Allah will spare you what is happening to them. So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Ya Allah, make us of those who are consistent in their ibadah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. Make us of those who will continue to worship you and draw closer to you. Make us of those who will continue with taqwa and righteousness. Make us of those whom you are pleased with in Ramadan and will be pleased with outside of Ramadan. Make us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, of those who will fast outside of Ramadan and after it, who will pray after Ramadan, who will read the Quran every single day after Ramadan, of those who will maintain their taqwa after Ramadan. May Allah, we ask this for ourselves, but also for our children. We ask these also for our spouses, for our extended families, and for the rest of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask you to bless the Ummah of Muhammad and alleviate its pain and remove its hardship, to unite the Ummah upon your book and the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give them power and dignity on the face of this earth, to shower them with your rahmah and remove any pain that they are going through. اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم قنا عذاب النار اللهم قنا عذاب النار اللهم نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ونعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم اغفر لنا ولأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اجمعهم على الحق والصلاح يا رب العالمين وأزل ما بهم من ضر يا أرحم الراحمين واجعلهم يدا على من سواهم وارفع غضبك ومقتك عنا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أدخلنا الجنة ولا تجعلنا من المطرودين المحرومين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين وأخر السلام.